Blog Talk Radio.
The Epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Philippians. Philippians 1.
Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of good will. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which ye saw in me, and now here to be in me.
Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. This is Deacon Thomas Farr, and you are listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'd like to welcome you to the program this evening. It is Monday, the 22nd of April, 2019. Monday after Easter, Monday after Resurrection Sunday, we pray to God that you all was able to celebrate, to reach those, and someone heard the gospel, someone gave their life to Christ and dedicated their life to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior. Amen? Amen. So we continue to pray for you, for those new believers and newcomers. Welcome. For those who are listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com. As you can tell, Ms. Farr, we'd like to welcome you for listening, if this is your first time, and all the brothers out here who called in at 646-668-2636. We thank you also. We see you there. We appreciate your support. Amen. Well, not a week now. We're 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 days away, April the 27th, 5 days away from Man Up 2019, Privileges and Responsibilities of God's Man. We're gathering at 10 a.m. at the Brooklyn Park Library at 111 East 11th Avenue in Baltimore, Maryland. And we're going to start from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. The doors are going to open at 9:30. So, and we're going to start at 10 a.m. sharp with opening prayer. So I encourage you, if you have not signed up or if you still want to come by, we will be accepting registrations at the door. Again, the doors will open at 9:30, so I encourage you to come out. Amen. Amen. With that, we're going to go right into the program today. We want to talk about church membership, talk about commitment to a church, to a local ministry as a Christian and how important it is. And what is the church, really? Because we have to. That's the other thing too. I want to backtrack a little bit and give a brief definition of what the church is, and some of the things, and why we should be members of a church, true members of a church, and what does that mean? And sometimes it's just not having our name on the books, or our pastor knows our name, or we signed up and we use the church, but what are we bringing to the church, and how is the church benefiting our lives? Amen. And the importance of being part of a church. Because, again, I've run into a lot of people, men, who don't go to a church. They say they're Christians. They say they believe Jesus Christ. They say they're saved, but they're not part. They can't be affiliated or connected with a local congregation of people. And that's the thing we want to talk about today, the local congregation of people. Who you fellowship with, who connect with you, who encourage you, and that you encourage. So there's a lot of things I just want to share with you. Again, if you called in at 646-668-2636, you press 1 on your keypad, you can join the conversation, give your insight, wisdom, or ask a question. Amen? Amen. Well, we're going to jump right in. Let's define the church. You know, because in Old Testament times, I know in this Western culture here in America, and especially here in America, in the Western culture, we see the churches, we see this building, we see these congregations. You know, we're in Baltimore here, locally, D.C. So people know there's churches almost on every block. There's every block, every corner, multiple churches in the same community, in the same zip code. Let's just use zip codes. I don't want to say it in negative condemnation, but in a given zip code in a given city, it could be your city, no matter where you're listening at this, that how many churches are in your zip code, of different denominations, different beliefs, different, small churches, little churches, storefront churches, house churches. You know, people saw a lot of churches started with Bible studies in people's homes. A brother had a call to pastor and lead, so he started. Other places, they do church planting. Big churches plant smaller churches and communities. You know, so it is a lot. There's churches. There's a lot of churches. But today we're going to talk about what is the church. I'm going to start there. And we're going to talk about why it's important to be committed. And are you a true Christian? Because, again, are you a true Christian if you're not part of a local ministry? That's the big question. And so I hope some of my brothers will weigh in, some of those who are listening out there, and who've been in ministry or been saved and been part of Christianity for a while, who weigh in and give your insights and wisdom on the subject. Amen. But today, let's talk about the church. Let's define it so we can set the parameters of our conversation. We don't call it, the church is primarily a regular assembly of people who profess and give evidence that they have been saved by God's grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone, to the glory of God alone. And that's a lot in that statement, because it's the foundation. It's the foundation of our faith, of who you are as a Christian. And now you're connecting and you're assembling together with others who believe what you believe, who live what you live, who understand that we are pilgrims this earth to glorify God in our lives. And we come together in community to strengthen and encourage one another. So, and if you're not part of a church, does that mean you're not saved, or you're being disobedient to the commands of God? Or can you glorify God being a long-range solo Christian? Is that something you see as an example in Scripture? Because we don't see it in the book of Acts. We don't see it in the letters when Paul went out on his missionary journeys and planted churches in different cities. You know, we didn't see it. If you think about it, I share this a lot with folks. If we look at the New Testament and the books that Paul wrote, if you wasn't part of that church, you would have never got to read his letters and be encouraged by him. Because he wrote to those churches. And even in the book of Revelations, he wrote to the seven churches. So you had to be part of a community. Again, it's a regular assembly, a gathering of people who confess and give evidence that they are saved by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ. To faith in Jesus Christ and to glorify God. And then the thing we have to be careful about, again, you know, we have these groups and clubs. You know, the church is more than a group or a gathering or a club. I don't like to use that metaphor. People like to use that metaphor that you're a team or something like that. But that's not what it's about, because it's about true fellowship and connecting with one another. And it's clearly, and being part of a church, it's you're setting an example to the world. You're part of something. You can say, this is my local ministry. This man is my pastor. You know, I think that right there for every brother out there. Who would you say, this man is my pastor, that you're under authority of a spiritual leader who's teaching, who's praying for you, who's guiding, who's directing, and then you're part of a circle of influence. You're part of a community of believers. Because we all part of something. You go to work every day. You work with all kinds of people. We go to work every day. We go out and about. We part of the culture, community, our neighborhoods. But then do we identify ourselves as being part of the church, that this is my church? You know, because everybody else identifies them. Every other club, club, association, fraternity, sorority, whatever you name it. You know, everyone's part of something. I want to be part of something. And I think that's what it is. That's a desire that's within each of us as human beings. But as Christians, we should gravitate and be able to want to be around others. So God is self-presented in having a list and knowing who's a member, who's in part of, and knowing who's in and who's out. You know, you talk about you don't have to be, some people say they don't have to be in the church, but God himself keeps a record. So are you on a church roll? Are you known to be part of a given assembly of people? Even God spoke about it, because God has a list. You know, we know the book of life, his name's in it, and those names are identified by his people who believe in him. So here on earth, how do we identify it with Christians? By being part of a local church. So I just wanted to share that and just to start off this conversation. Are you part of a church? Are you identified as a part of a church for those around you, those in your circle of influence, to the unbeliever? You know, do you stand separate and above? Is there a clear line between those who are Christians and who are not, and who have trusted Jesus Christ for all things, for the salvation, for deliverance, for the forgiveness of sins? And are you part of a local gathering of assembly of people who meet regularly in fellowship, and connect, and encourage and support one another? But again, the Bible speaks of being called to the church. In the book of Acts, Peter preached, and it says 3,000 souls are added to the church. So they became part of each other. They became the cause of Christ. They were connected one to another. That was the determining factor. They come to Christ, and they was part of something. And I think that's the thing we have to also understand when we talk to, when we evangelize the unbeliever and the unsaved. When you come to Christ, you become part of something. It's not so much what you're giving up, because you're giving up sinful ways. You're giving up the being under the power and control and the penalty of sin. But now you're coming into a family. You're coming to an assembly of people who believe God, who trust God, who will show you the love of God. And that this is a safe place where we can gather together, study the Word of God, be able to be light and salt and light in this culture together and standing together for the Word of God. So it's important. I think it's really, really important. Because, again, if we talk about if we're part of a family, how do we know we're part of a family? Because we live together. We're a family. We identify with each other. We have the last name. We have grandparents in common and connected, and cousins and aunties and nephews. The same thing, the same representation of being the family of God. We're connected one to another. We're looking out for one another. We're supporting one another, even through the ups and downs. And we're praying for one another. So that's what the church does, because it's not. Sometimes it's just not about you. You might be a strong, bold Christian, and then why are you not there to support someone who's weaker? You know, you might be smart, you might be spiritually bound in the scriptures and understand the scriptures, but now who are you discipling? Who are you mentoring? Who are you encouraging? Those that are needy. And then even if you are a young Christian, where else are you going to go to learn the things of God to grow into the full purpose that God has for you in Christ Jesus? We do a lot of things for our secular lives. We go to school, we go to college, we go to training, we look for jobs, we do job training, we've been mentored at work on how to do a job so we can earn a paycheck. but in the spiritual realm. Why is it so a struggle to us to submit and grow that God can be able to use us? We do all these things, and we go to school, we go to work to get promotions on our job. We do anything and everything we need to do to get a promotion on our job, to get a job, to qualify for a job. But now what are we doing? Do we put less value on our salvation and the purposes of God than we do in a secular world? That's something every man has to look at in the mirror and conclude. Does he put more importance on your secular, temporal, job, career than you do in the spiritual things of God, to grow in the knowledge and understanding of God, that you may be able to stand and be able to mentor and lead? And as men and as husbands and fathers, are we prepared to live a life that is pleasing to God and setting an example for those around us and generations to come? So that's what we have to do. And that's what we have to be as men, as husbands and fathers and sons, with God, how God says. So, and also we have to understand that, you know, the church is for believers. It teaches the church is for believers. That's the other thing we get messed up with. The church is for believers. And sometimes churches do a lot of things to please and make unbelievers comfortable. And I believe it starts with the leadership. Are we preaching sin? Are we preaching the penalty of sin? Are we preaching that why you must be saved? What must you do to be saved? Are we teaching people to understand the word of God and understand the punishment of God and the judgment? It's easier to preach the love of God to the unbeliever, but can we preach the judgment of God, the eternal judgment, the separation from God, and the penalty of being disobedient to God? So, because the church is for believers, and this is that's where if we preaching and teaching the believers to grow in faith, and non-believers will hear that and then see it demonstrated by how we live and how we speak on the word, how we live out the word, and then that will compel them to come. You know, we do a lot of things sometimes to get people to come to make them feel comfortable. You know, I learned a while back, a couple of years, just by reading and studying and seeing that you doing stuff to make the sinner and the unbeliever feel comfortable, sometimes that can take, you can distract and take a young Christian off course, because you're doing things to try, quote unquote, attract people to the church, and now you're giving license for the babe, for the brothers on the fence, for those that are weak in their faith, to give them license to do things that can cast them into sin and make them commit sin and struggles and have bad consequences for the bad choices, because we made it okay because we try to do everything to bring the sinner man in and make them feel comfortable instead of staying to the standard of the word of God. And that's the thing I do want to say here right now in the midst of it. It's the standard of the word of God is how we live. It's the blueprint. It's the chalk mark. It's the measuring stick. We don't compare ourselves to each other, but we compare ourselves to the word of God. And as we are taught the word of God by our pastors and elders, this is the standard we live by, and this is what we achieve to be, that we will stand before Christ and hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." So let's say this too. I want to know, why would we join the church? Let me say this too. Going to church, joining a church will not save your soul. Because again, the church is for the believer, for the redeemed, for the converted, for the reconciled. This is what the body of Christ is. The non-Christian shouldn't try to join a church, but learn what it means to be a Christian. And that's what we have to be able to do when we have opportunity to speak to the non-believer when they come to the church, in every sermon, in every lesson, and everything that's taught. They come to the church as a place to understand what Christianity means, who Christ is, what sin is, what salvation is, what redemption is. They come to know the things of God and know the word of God that they might choose. So what does it mean to live a Christian life? That's the question we have to ask ourselves. What does it mean to live a Christian life, and how is it communicated in your local congregation for those who are there as members and those for the non-Christians who come by and visit? Would they be able to receive from you what it means to be a Christian and how to live it and understand the principles and the doctrines and things of God? That's what the church is to do, to edify and to grow us. Amen? So I'm going to touch on a couple points today. What the church is, why we should be part of a church and church, the importance of church membership. I just want to reflect on those a little bit. Again, those of you who have called in at 646-668-2636, if you'd like to join the conversation, just press 1 on your keypad, or you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/DeaconThomasFarr. You can also call in or send us a message on Facebook at the Issues Christian Men's Talk Facebook page, and we can respond to your question there. Amen. Or we can respond live on the radio tonight. So first reason that we join the church is that we should join a church in order, we don't join, again, I want to emphasize that in this conversation. You do not join a church to be saved. You should join a church to help make certain that you are saved, of holding each other accountable. We hold each other accountable in the lives we live. Because we bring this up, we even talk about this at the Man Up events. We're not going to talk about nothing here. We won't condemn anyone because you confess to be a Christian. So now let's review the standards of our living as Christian men. Let's go to the Word of God and look at our lives and compare our lives to the Word of God. And that way we encourage each other, we hold each other accountable. And this is why we have a passion here at Issues Christian Men Talk and myself and men's ministry, that we can speak into men's lives in transparent, open discussions about what they're struggling with and what they're dealing with, that they can live a life that's more pleasing to God. And I think that's important, that we have to understand that the evidence of our lives, and we reflect that salvation. And our membership and being part of a local body is just a reflection that this is who I identify with. I identify with Christ, I identify with these local people, with this pastor, and what they're teaching there, and this is what I assure myself in my salvation. And I think the important thing we have to understand, we talk about fellowships. Fellowship is being accountable to one another. It's not sitting down and having a meal. It's being accountable to the Word of God, encouraging one another, challenging one another, that we can start to drop off some of the major discrepancies and thoughts and patterns in our life. To start to line us up with the Word of God, to help us, to encourage us along the way, because we all want to slip and fall. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to make bad choices, but yet God is still God. And we are still His child and His son. But yet, we have each other to encourage each other along the way. Again, I'm going to take it back to, I take it back to our natural family. We're not going to let our natural family go so far without intervening and encouraging them or being an example for them. As fathers, we're the examples to our children. As a husband, we pray for our wife. We guide our wife. We as the Word of God says, we sacrifice for our wives and for our children, that they might see what it means to be a godly man. We protect them. So this church also protects. It's able to be able to protect and encourage each other, because we're all going to slip and fall in some way. Especially, early in our faith and our conversion, the process of sanctification, as we grow. Because, again, if you look at your life, all my brothers out there, you're not the same Christian man you was when you first gave your life to Christ or permitted yourself to be a man of God and a man of the Word to where you are today. And even if that was 6 months ago, a year ago, 2 years ago, 15 years ago, or 30 years ago, you're not the same man. And why? Because you sowed into the people who sowed into your life and brought you and helped you and nourished you and teached you and mentored you and taught the Word of God, answered your questions, and you were able to grow in it. And then the things that, again, we hold accountable to study up for ourselves and research these things that nag at us, that we don't have the understanding, where to go, where to study, where to ask, and that's what the church is for. To grow us where God can be glorified and that we can be effective to the world. Our next point, evangelism of the world. As a church, we should join a church that we could, for the sake of evangelism in the world, together we can spread the gospel. Here locally, no matter where you're at, New York, Chicago, Baltimore, D.C., South Bronx, East Baltimore, West Baltimore, Southeast, Southwest, Northwest of D.C., Chicago, wherever you are, as a church, we are able to come together and spread the gospel. We show the love of God to people by meeting their physical needs. The church in the book of Acts and the first century church, they took care of orphans, they took care of the sick. The society was a little different with the Roman Empire. But even today, what are we doing as a church? Are we reaching the homeless? Are we reaching the sick, the shut-ins? As we take care of we don't really have orphans, but we have like fatherlessness, people who don't have both parents, single parent mothers, we come alongside and be an influence in their lives to help them in raising their children. And these are the things. When we talk about fellowship, again, I just want to understand our fellowship is holding each other accountable And we have churches who work together. You know, that's how we got denominations, and we still have organizations with churches bind together to reach the community for the gospel. But these are the things that we do as a church, and this is where God can use us all, because we all have a part. The scripture says that there's one body with many members. There's a purpose and a plan for our lives, and every man that's listening to my sound of my voice, there's a purpose that God created you. There's a purpose that God saved you. It was not for you to sit. Just say you're saved, say you're a Christian man, and sit in a pew for the next 30 years. If you're okay, your kids may or may not be saved, but you're going to heaven, you just sit there. You show up every week, but you're not telling anybody the gospel. You're not sharing the gospel. And then you're struggling with living out the gospel. You don't understand the word. You don't study the word. You know, and that's the other thing. We as men, I always like to encourage men, you have to pick up your Bible and start to read and study the word for yourself, because you never know. It's the only way you can share what you know about the word of God by what you know about the word of God. Amen. And also in our lives, it helps us to demonstrate that we have a true love of the gospel, that we love one another. We're evangelizing the world, so we want to be able to make an impact on people's lives through the truth of the gospel. And we can do that as a church. Because, again, we need the harvest is plentiful, but the labors are few. But we have to be able to come together as a church, as a body of believers, and reach this lost and dying world before Jesus comes back. We can do that. We can be more effective in that if we come together as a church and you being part of a church. And this is why, God, it's important to be a member and part of a church. And let me say this. When I say member, too, because you know, I want to touch on this again, because we're going to talk about this again later on, and because we have a continuing series. But it's important that we encourage one another and that we work together to reach the lost. Amen? Our next point I'm going to touch on here is, again, is being a member of the church and the point of being an active member. And being part of a church, when we come together, we expose the false gospel, the false prophets, the false teachings. Again, this is about us studying the word for ourselves, coming together, reasoning out through the word. Because, again, if you watch TV, televangelists, listen to radio, all kinds of other crazy stuff that's on the internet, and we don't know what's sometimes, if you don't know what's true and false, if your church is a Bible-believing, Bible-studying, open church where we can go in and examine what the word of God says. Because the word of God, again, I can't say it more fervently, that the word of God is our blueprint. It is our example. Anything that deviates from the word of God is a false teaching, and is false prophets who teach you things. One of the major things that now is in the last 20 years has been the prosperity gospel and the social justice gospel. And Jesus, and then, you know, we're giving Jesus and the Holy Spirit a whole lot of things of why this and not why God sent his son to die. But when we get off, and we listen to things and we like it. The scripture says in the end days, in end times, you come up with new doctrines that'll tickle our ears and make us feel good. But that's not why Christ died. It's not what the Holy Spirit is sent to do. And that's not God's purpose for Christians and for his church on earth. But again, this is why we come together. We come together to recognize and defend the gospel and prevent it from being perverted and twisted and misused and abused. People will take a verse, take a scripture, misuse it, lead people down the wrong path. And the Bible speaks about taking foolish women and leading them astray. You know, we have to be on guard for that as husbands and fathers and as men of God, because, again, there's wolves among the sheep. So we have to be able to by the word of God, be able to give what is called a lie detector. The word of God is a lie detector. Just if what you're teaching or what you're doing is not scriptural based, then it's wrong. It's evil. It's perverted, and you're a false prophet and a false teacher. But we only know that because we come together, we read the word, we study the word, we reason out the word, and then we apply the word to our lives so that we're not confused or distorted in our witness, and then we don't let them, and then we can prevent a lot of things. You'd be surprised how many churches could be shut down, false prophets, rather, could be shut down if someone spoke out against them and held them accountable. That they called them as for they were false. Paul did it. Peter did it because there was people coming around the churches that Paul planted and was trying to plant seeds of discontent, trying to, particularly You had the Judaizers coming behind Paul, telling people they had to do all the Jewish traditions and get circumcised and all these things to be truly a Christian, which is a lie. And today we have the same spirit moving around in the church, having people do a lot of different things for them to be saved, and that's not what the Bible teaches. Amen. The fourth point I want to make tonight is to be edify the church. The fourth reason for joining first for edification and building up the church. You join the church to help count the wrong individuals to keep the nature of the church pure. You know, we want to edify the church. We want to grow the church. We want to keep the church strong. And the only way we do that is through keeping people strong, keeping people involved, engaged, and caring for people. You'd be surprised. A lot of people don't have loved ones, have people who love them and care for them in their lives. So you never know what you can do as a man, as a husband, as a father, and be, to encourage another man, to encourage young men who may or may not have a strong male influence. But even those around it, for other young females who don't have good male examples in their lives, as men of God in the church, we can be that example. And we have to be able to edify and strengthen the church, encourage the babes along their way of righteousness and their growth, show what it means to be a loving and selflessness Christian, to be more like Christ, to show people love. Because, again, we can't take for granted everyone's life is well outside those 2 hours, 3 hours, whatever it is on Sunday, you know, and then maybe Bible study or maybe not Bible study. You know, people go through a lot. 6 other days of the week. So we have to be engaged and be part of a church, because there's some things you can do that I can't do. There's some things I can do that you can't do. That we can make connections and build friendships and relationships, and thereby edifying the church, building the church up. And again, that's the most important part of God's plans, is so that we live together as Christians. And when I say that, I don't mean live together in like in a communion in the woods, in the mountains, with no electric and no Wi-Fi, and just being a cult and a commune. But we're living together in this life, in this world, to be a light, to be salt and light, and we're loving and encouraging one another, strengthening each other, building our families, helping young couples, helping young marriages, helping our elderly, keeping their body growing, keeping young people involved and engaged in the things of God, that they would understand and see and be examples to it. So that's what we want to talk about the church. We talk about edifying the church. Amen? Amen. So today, I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. You've been listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. And today we're talking about the importance of church membership. We will continue talking about this for the next couple of series of programs. Again, we're going to go a little bit deeper in them. But just as a quick review, we talked about three points about the importance of joining a church and being a member of church. The first one, to be assurance of ourselves and assurance of our faithful member. We don't join a church just to be saved. We join a church because we are saved and we are part of his body. Two, to evangelize the world. We come together as believers, as a common believer in the word of God, to evangelize and tell the world to be salt and light. Number three, to expose the false gospels, false teachers, and those who will come to be able to defile the name of Christ and try and destroy his church. False prophets. Because in the end times, there's a lot of them there, but the only way we're going to know is if we can identify and know the truth and know the truth of God and understand that who God says he is and why he died. And let me, in closing, let's remember that what is the church? The church is an assembly of people who profess and give evidence that they have been saved by God's grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone, to the glory of God. So my brothers, continue to live to glory to God, that you might someday stand before him and hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Again, I just want to remind any brothers listening out there who's in the Baltimore, D.C. area, Man Up 2019, Privileges and Responsibility of God's Man, Saturday, April 27th from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. We're going to be at the Brooklyn Park Library at 1 East 11th Avenue. In Baltimore, Maryland. You can reach out to us on Facebook at Issues Christian Men's Talk, on the Facebook page, or Twitter at Issues Men's Talk on Twitter. You can inbox us there. There's a flyer there. You can see the flyer information. You can also call us at 443-591-3504. and register online. We're asking for $20 donations to cover lunch and also toolbox of resources that each man will receive for materials to help him grow and believe and to live a life that is pleasing to God. Amen? Amen. So I'm going to close out in prayer, and I pray that you have a good and prosperous evening. And we are here. Oh, sorry. And to remind you, we're here every Issues Christian Men's Talk. We're here every Monday night at 8 p.m., every Thursday night at 8 p.m., and on Saturday morning at 9 a.m. Either we're live or we have pre-recorded broadcasts that we download. You can always go to www.blogtalkradio.com/DeaconThomasFarr. You can look at the archive, and you can, if you click on the follow button, you'll get updates when we have upload new, brand new programs and shows, and encourage you to join us. Amen. Well, God bless you. Father God, I thank you, God. I thank you for every man that called in. I thank you for all those who are listening online. I thank you, God, for what you're doing in the lives of men today, God. Father, we ask you to continue to bless the husbands, the fathers, and sons, Lord God. Even in the midst of your struggle, even in the midst of your trial, even in the midst of your temptation, Lord God, show yourself mighty. Holy Spirit, speak to them, Lord God. Give them peace in every situation. Strengthen and encourage them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.